Amen. It is amazing, isn't it? Amen. Would you please stand with me? I'd like to dismiss our children to Sunday school at this time. I'd like to turn your attention to Revelation, the third chapter. It's a revelation of who Jesus is. Amen. It's the only book in the Bible that tells us what is going to happen, not what did happen. The rest of it is history. This is prophecy. Chapter 3 and verse number 12, it says, "Him that overcometh will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name." It's going to happen in the city of God. I don't know if any of you were like me. Someone invited me to a Pentecostal church at least six times before I finally said, "Okay, I'll come," never intending to ever come back again. But when I got to the church and felt what I felt, and I believed in God all my life, I was compelled to come back to that place again. I didn't want to, but I had to. You know what I'm talking about? And some of you maybe were just at that point where someone's invited you and invited you and invited you. I thought to myself, you know, if they would just leave me alone, you know? But it wasn't them. It was God that didn't leave me alone. He saw something within me. And then if you turn to Philippians, the third chapter, Philippians chapter 3, verse number 20. It says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Our conversations are in heaven. Every time we're in this place and we speak, you know what? That conversation echoes the halls of heaven. Amen. And then, "Who shall change your vile body that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself?" It happens right here, folks, right here. And then our last scripture is in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews 12 and 22. Paul's saying to the Hebrews, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn," that's us, "which are written in heaven," that's us, "and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." Amen. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word of God. Let there be a great anointing in here. It's not just on the pulpit, God, but every pew, every individual in here. Open the windows of heaven, God. Shine a light upon us. Lord, allow us to leave different than when we came. We'll give you the praise and the glory. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You may not realize this, but according to the scripture in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, you have come to Mount Zion. In the Greek, it means you have come to church, unto the city of a living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. There have been many, many people in this church who have seen visible sightings of angels within here, feeling the touch of angels in here over and over, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. This is a special place. I can worship God. I can talk to God in my car, in my house, in the yard, in the woods. But there's a special place. It's called the city of the living God, a heavenly Jerusalem where innumerable angels gather. That's where I want to be. And you thought we were just coming to another service. My friend, we are surrounded by angels, and we are sitting in heavenly places. The prophet said to God, "Open my servant's eyes so he sees." If God would just open our spiritual eyes this morning and see what's going on in the spirit within this place, you would never want to leave this place. Ephesians 2 and 6 says, "And hath raised up us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now, a lot of people have bucket lists. You know, these are the things that I want to do in my lifetime, and then they check them off one at a time, things they want to do. Some of the most popular I looked up on the internet, and the 10 most popular are this: swim with a dolphin. You know, you got to do that before the end, folks. Learn a new language. I've been going to Mexico for 35 years, and all I can say is gracias, you know, and baño, because that's important as well. Third on the list, bungee jumping. Fourth, ride an elephant. Fifth, visit a volcano. I've done that. Sixth, float in the Dead Sea. Seventh, visit Niagara Falls. Been there. Eighth, see the Grand Canyon. Yes. Nine, visit a castle. I've been there. And number 10, get married. You notice that marriage is 10th on the list after riding an elephant? Your bucket list may also contain cities that you want to go to before the end. My wife and I have been very fortunate to visit many cities around the world, many because of ministry, not because we were able to just get on a plane. And I was thinking yesterday, and please, indulge me, but I just started thinking, where have I been? I've been to London, England, and Paris, France, and Frankfurt, Germany, and Rome, Italy, and Athens, Greece, and Amman, Jordan, and Cairo, Egypt, where we went into pyramids, Jerusalem, Seoul, Korea, Kristiansand, Norway, Geneva, Switzerland, Enugu, Nigeria, Malta, and dozens of cities within Mexico, and yet I don't feel fulfilled because I went there, just because I checked up. Some people might think if I could only get to this city, I'd feel fulfilled. In fact, there isn't one of them that I really feel a urge to go back to. But there was a city that I went to, and a city that I'm in right now. And that city, I want to keep going back to and back to and back to, because there is a fulfillment in going to the city of the living God, a new Jerusalem, a place where the firstborn is. Now, of all of the cities that I've gone to, one of the greatest cities that I remember is Paris, France. It's called the City of Lights. It's also called the City of Romance. And there are lights everywhere in Paris. And we had an opportunity to go to the Eiffel Tower. In fact, we only got halfway up because it was so foggy that day that there wasn't any sense in going any higher. But I read a travel magazine that I get on a regular basis, and it said this: all people, young and old, male and female, rich and poor, must make the trip to Paris. You have got to go. You know, you got to go see the Mona Lisa. You know, you got to climb the Eiffel Tower. It said, it is a city of energy, and it will energize those who come and feel its vitality. And to those who walk her streets, they can find something of value at every turn and every corner. It said, this is a city of romance. So visit and soak up all of the city has to offer. Let Paris seduce you. It will change your life. Really? Well, my wife and I are still married, you know. And we've gone to Paris. But it won't seduce you like the city of our living God, who keeps calling you back and back. Hallelujah. Let me be your travel agent this morning just for a few minutes. You must put this city on your bucket list before you die. There are so many people who have spent thousands and thousands of dollars going throughout the entire globe looking for some kind of fulfillment or some kind of an experience. But you must see this city. It is for all people, young and old, male and female, rich and poor. This city is a must to put on your list. A city that's set on a hill. To the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. It is more than a city of romance. Amen. It's where you will find your greatest love. Yes, it is city of lights. You will receive great illumination and insight to another world. You can't see heaven like you see in this city, a place where we speak the language of angels and God. You talk about a city of energy that gives you the feeling of vitality, a feeling of strength when you walk into this city, a city of lights and romance. In its gates, you will find something of value at every turn. And every quarter. It'll change you like no other visitation will. Every service is an experience waiting to happen. The city will fulfill your desire to travel to even another world that you don't have transportation to without getting on a plane. And this city, unlike all of the other cities that I've ever been, you cannot bring baggage. You just leave the baggage outside the city and you come and be energized. Amen. A trip to Paris won't heal you, but a trip to this city could heal you. Right. A trip to Paris won't deliver you, but a trip to this city will deliver you. A trip to Paris won't give you peace, but a trip to this city will. Amen. There is a surge of power and blessing in every song service, and at the delivering of the word, there's a hope of mercy and grace of truth. And as truth is preached, faith swells up in your heart to receive a miracle. No other city will inspire you like that. Oh, don't discount your experience. Don't discount your visitation to the church of the living God. Don't discount, oh, I'll just go to the next church service. No, this church service is your church service. The scriptures describe your visit to God's place of worship in Ephesians 2 and 6. It says, sitting together in heavenly places. And we do in every service sit in heavenly places, unaware of what's going on around us. It shouldn't be seventh on your bucket list or sixth on your bucket list. It should be number one. And yet there are so many who will never put it on a list of any kind. They feel that they're going to be judged, that it will cramp their style. It will stop their liberty. But there is more freedom in this city. There is more advantages. There is more energy. There are more miracles. There is more deliverance in this city than any other place. Man has made towers. Man has built cities. But they can't compare to the city that God has made. Matthew 6 and 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall come to you. A visit to this city will give you all of the things that you always wanted. A visit to another city won't bring you much of anything except a bill. Let God finish your bucket list. Amen. Psalms 84 and 10 says, for a day in thy court is better than 1,000 in Paris or London or New York or San Francisco. It goes on to say, no good thing would he withhold to them that walk uprightly. You never know what you're going to receive at a corner. You never understand what you could pick up when you come to the city, what God will do for you. I wasn't expecting a healing, but all of a sudden there's a healing. I wasn't expecting to feel the Shekinah glory of God here, but all of a sudden as I walked in, there was something that happened to me in this city. It's not because of who you are, it's because of who he is. It's not because you're so great, it's because he's so great. He's been waiting for the visit. Won't you come? Invitations have been sent out for hundreds and thousands of years. Won't you come and visit our city? Hallelujah. Recently, Paris had a terrorist attack, but in God's city, you'll be safe. For the gates of hell shall not prevail against God's city. It's a city of refuge for somebody who is grieving, for somebody who is hurting, for somebody who is being attacked, for somebody who's been accused. It is a city of refuge. And God said, if you stay in the city, don't go outside the city, because outside the city there isn't safety. No other place on earth can you experience a life-changing transformation in just 90 minutes. Hallelujah. Oh, 90 minutes? You're in church for an entire 90 minutes, 2 hours? Well, you see, when you get into the presence of God, time kind of stops. And you're saying, that's it? It's over? We enter the city of the living God with high levels of contagious expectation. Amen. Someone came up to me this morning and said, you know, I feel this feeling of high expectation of what God is going to do here. And she said, it was Sister Kubiak, she said, this is exactly what I felt when I was in Jerusalem. This is Jerusalem, folks. Amen. I've been to Jerusalem, and it's a great place to visit, but I didn't feel any closer to God than I do right in the middle of our service here. Sometimes we feel like we've got to go someplace or be something in order to get what God has when he's saying, you know, we're right here, I want to bless you. Attitudes that express our faith in God. Amen. Songs that reflect our love for God. Let me say something that's going to step on somebody's toes here, and if it does, well, hallelujah, we'll fix it later. You know, don't come in late to church services. This is the most important part of the service where we give something to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you don't think that this is important, well, maybe God's saying your requests aren't so important that he wants to give to you. Come to the city early. Hallelujah. And when people gather in the city on a hill, God transports us into another dimension that you can't get at any other place than in the city of the living God. Hallelujah. We talk about the first miracles that were happening in the third chapter of the book of Acts. Well, Peter and John were going to the house of prayer at their request. And immediately there were people who were healed because they went to the house of God. Amen. Would you turn to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, please? Second Corinthians chapter 12. I said yesterday about some scripture that I thought was just one of my favorite scriptures, and this too is, but this whole book is full of treasures that apply to your life. 1 Corinthians 12 and 1. 2 Corinthians 12 and 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. This is Paul that's speaking. He's talking about himself. He says, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one, caught up to the third heaven. He was talking about being in the presence of God. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. What Paul was saying is, God caught me up in a dimension out of the house of God to a place where I couldn't even understand or describe the glories of God, a third heaven or an experience. I think just about every one of us have been to that place where all of a sudden we got into a dimension of God that we could never think we could. But you know, we purpose in ourselves. Well, I want to go to this city. Well, making plans? Are you packing? Are you getting a ticket? Do you have an itinerary? Each of us have an itinerary and plan. We decide where we're going to go, where we're going to spend our time, what we're going to do. And even when we get to the city, do you want to see everything? Or just want to go to one little place? In church, we have an opportunity to go as high as we want, as deep as we want with God. We could get in another dimension if you really want, or we could get to the place where even Pentecost is a tradition. We come, we clap our hands a little, and then we leave. There were many great men and women in the Old Testament that long to be in the city where we're sitting this morning. Oh, they would love to be able to feel the presence of God and to be filled with God's Spirit, but it was a different time and it was a different place. Many were in the hall of faith in Hebrew, the 11th chapter, but we are the privileged people today who can walk into a city of the firstborn, the living God. And I'm afraid we can get to the place where we just take it for granted because we've been in this city so long. Would you turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter? I'm not preaching long, but we can have a great altar call this morning. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and verse number 13, and it goes through all of these patriarchs within the Bible, Abel and Abraham and Noah and Enoch. And then verse 13, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. You know, sometimes it's a struggle. God takes us out of a whole bunch of things, brings us into this new city of His, and then we start to remember what used to be and where we used to be. And that was the same here. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. He has prepared for us a city, a dwelling place. There was a garden in Garden of Eden, and there's a garden in the New Jerusalem, but the church is the garden that God has put us in now. Amen. Church, every conversation that we have in church is as though we were in heaven. As I mentioned, I believe that our worship echoes the halls of heaven. It is the city whereby we will be changed into a glorious body. not only at the rapture of the church, but I believe that when we come and visit God's city, that we're changed. There's a dimension that happens to us. I can't live for God. You come out of a service and you say, I can live for God. Oh, this thing has been tormenting me. I don't know. And you leave a service in his city and all of a sudden you can do it, you see. There are so many people who are afraid to start a walk with God because they know that they'll fail, and the truth of the matter is they will. But when you get into a dimension of God, all of a sudden God takes our desires away and puts his desires within us. That's why it's so important to come to church in order to have that transition every time we're in the presence of God. We'll be transported to live with Christ for an eternity in a new Jerusalem one day. But first of all, we have to be in this place before we can go to that place. There's a Jerusalem here before the Jerusalem in heaven. Would you turn back to Philippians, the third chapter again? Philippians 3 and verse 24, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change your vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And we look at that as that transition, like in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, where we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, from mortality to immortality. But I also believe that he wants to change us every time we get into his presence, to fashion our body as his glorious body, and he is able to subdue all of the things that we are not able to subdue. Jacob called the house of God the gate of heaven. Amen. In Genesis 28 and 17. It is the launching pad to the next world. Amen. Folks, I have heard people say, I don't need a church. I have God. But you know what? God has designed it that we come into a place. He said, you know what? Here I am. I didn't realize that I was in the presence of God. This is Bethel, the house of God, the gate to heaven. You can't get to heaven without coming to this city. We need a church. Now, there are some of you who have never been on an airplane, and perhaps you will never be able to take a trip to Paris, even though you would desire. Most of us can't speak the language. Most of us don't know the customs. It could be on your bucket list, but it just will never become a reality. But it's just a dream. Well, you've come to the right place this morning. Amen. I have a deal for you that you can't pass up. An all-expense-paid trip to a city of your dreams. All paid for by your host, tour guide, and husband-to-be. Amen. He'll take you to a place that the rest of the world just can't get to. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what kind of prestige you have. You can't go to the city unless God takes you to that city. Unless you have within your heart says, I want it before I die. I want to visit that city. I want to feel a dimension of God. Something God brought to my attention this morning. About 2 years ago, we met with Governor Walker at Helen Johnson's house in Racine, and what a palatial place. It must be a $6-7 million home, and had all kinds of dignitaries there. I have no idea why we were there. And we started talking to people, and I mentioned this before. There was a couple that simply came up to us, and I had a name tag that said Reverend Schumacher on it. And so, what church do you pastor at, and so on? And then I asked them, what do you do? And the guy said, well, right now we're just traveling the world. You know, we just want to see as much as we can see. And obviously, You know, it wasn't on a bus pass. And I thought, wow, to be in a position where I could go anywhere, anytime, no obligations, not criticizing you folks. And then he says, so what church is it? What do you believe? Sister Berg, where are you? There she is. I said, there's a lady in our church who has stage 4 cancer, and God has just healed her. And I saw his face, and here's what he said. No. At least 4 times, no. But you haven't been to the city. You may have traveled the world, but you have never been in a dimension. You have never been to the city of our living God. Hallelujah. Some say, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him in the city. I'm not talking about just heaven. I believe that God wants to show us things, allow us to hear things, see things, enter into a dimension of God that we have never been before because you came into a city. There are some people who have traveled the world and experienced everything their hearts desired, but if they have never come to the city of the living God, the church, well, they haven't seen anything, haven't experienced nil, zip, zero. You can't just visit Pentecost. You have to experience Pentecost. You know, it's like, oh man, I want to go to Paris and get a nice room and stay in your room for the entire time that you're in Paris. Huh? Something's wrong. Amen. I come to visit Pentecost and I just sit in that pew and I don't experience anything of Pentecost or Paris. Amen. Now, your flight of departure only leaves from one city. You can't get there through any other city. No connecting flights. You have to come to the city of the living God. And once you have visited and experienced the city on a hill, once you've come, even though I said to myself, I'm never going back, those people are crazy. I'm not going back. I see a commitment there that I could never have in my life. And I was right. I couldn't do it. But it's Christ in you who can cause you, can change your desires, can change your appetite. But once you've been to that city on a hill, you can't just go on with your life as though it was just one more thing that you checked off on your bucket list. Just one more thing. Yeah, tried that. And I know there are people who have come in, experienced it, and thought, well, that's cool. Yeah. Now let's go on to something else. That's not why God died on a cross, so you could just have a little experience with him on a Sunday morning someplace. He wants to take you all of the way. He wants to take you to even a greater height, into a greater experience that you ever had. Hallelujah. Amen. I thank God that I finally got to the place where I said, all right, God, if there is more for me, that's what I want. Hallelujah. And you feel exactly the same way. We can't do this by our power, by our might. It's by God's Spirit that changes us and draws us to a dimension of God that nothing else will satisfy. God has created each and every one of us with a void within us that can't be satisfied with travel or houses or cars or planes or any other kind of dimension. It's something that'll give you complete satisfaction and complete. But it's your turn. You do it. As Brother Davis once said, and I've said many times, you can have a relationship with somebody who has a relationship with God, but you yourself don't have a relationship with God. Oh, my wife has a great relationship with God, and I have a great relationship with my wife. Doesn't work that way. I've got an uncle who's really religious. Well, that's not going to get you to the city of the living God. Your ticket has to be punched. You have to have the relationship with God. Amen. Turn to Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Hebrews 6, verse number 1. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. These are just basics. And of the doctrine of baptisms, that's the water baptism and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible, the word impossible there means rare, for those who have once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gifts and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good words of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they have crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. You know, once we've experienced this, which probably 80% of the world has never experienced, and then we decide, no, that's not for me. God's saying, you know what? You better hold on to this experience. Amen. You better hold on to this city. Amen. You need to be a part of this city. Amen. God has already made your reservation. Amen. He is just waiting for your arrival.
Amen.
Amen. Almost 30 years old before I walked into a church like this. All those years, believed in God, but he had a reservation made for me that when I walked into this city, I was going to have an experience that I could never forget, nor could I ever deny. And so God has a reservation for each of us. He's just waiting for us to arrive. And most of you have experienced more than you can possibly imagine in a dimension of God. But let me tell you this morning, God has an even greater dimension for each and every one of us. And if God is going to bring the revival that he said he was going to bring to this church, then the revival starts with you. When you get to a place where you say, God, I want more. I want more. Amen. The altar is only a few steps away to get to the city, to get to a dimension. I'm so afraid that we Pentecostals become so apathetic because we have experienced that we're just expecting that we're going to feel this presence of God in every service, but can we use it to step higher?
Amen.
There's something that divers are very aware of. It's called the rapture of the deep. And when they dive, there's a certain point where they recognize if you go beyond that depth, that you could be so mesmerized that you don't want to come up at all. And that's why people dive in pairs, because you can have this euphoria that happens with the beauty, but there's a lack of oxygen and nitrogen within your bloodstream that says, hey, I'm just going to stay here forever. Could we have a rapture of the spirit where we get to a dimension with God that we are in such a euphoric state, we're in such a rapturous place that we say, you know what? Like Peter says, couldn't we just build 3 tabernacles here on the Mount of Transfiguration and stay here forever? Hallelujah. I just don't want church to be something that we do. But what we are. And have this incredible appetite for more of God.
Amen.
There's a man standing in this pulpit this morning who never even wanted to go to church, who didn't want to read this book, who didn't want to lay his life down and ever submit to a ministry, a man who could never have believed that he'd be pastoring a church. But then there was this dimension of God that got a hold of me and changed me from the inside. That person could be you this morning. You can't do it on your own, folks. But let this rapturous presence of God transform you to a place where, get me to God, get me, when's the next flight out? I've got to get closer to God. Get to that third heaven that Paul talked about where I can't even express what I'm feeling here. And you know what happens? When that happens, you just have to share it with somebody. You just have to. A dimension of God that is so supernatural that when you walk into a room, you're just looking for someone to tell them about the experience that you have with God. Maybe the reason that people don't witness enough to other people is their experience is so shallow.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I got to talk to them. If God's going to bring this revival, then he has to bring a revival to each and every one of us. It isn't an evangelist that walks in here with a suitcase full of God that he opens up. It's touching our heart to a point where, like Brother Portman said, when we have the love of God, it compels us to do things that we wouldn't do normally. Would you stand with me, please? I remember being in an airport years ago. Our flight was delayed. So I started wandering through the airport, going in little shops, always listening, waiting for them to call our flight. But I got so involved in something that I didn't hear the announcement. And finally, the stewardess or whoever it is said, "Is there a Mr. Schumacher in the airport? We're about to close the gate." And I thought, how could I have not heard it? Well, because I was looking at something. I was involved in something. And I ran as fast as I could to get to the gate. And I finally got on my flight to get out of where I was going. I think I was coming home at the time. Don't ever get to the place where you're so involved in something that is so important to you that you're not listening. You're not listening because your flight is going to be called. The altar's open. Would you come?